right, so at 5:07, we are opening the ordinary council meeting of the Warrumbungle Shire Council in the state of New South Wales, Commonwealth of Australia. Okay, acknowledgement of country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which the meeting is held and pays its respects to elders both past and present and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. I encourage you all to put your phones on silent or turn them off. And I also remind everybody that the council meeting is recorded, so be mindful of what you say because it will become a public record. Apologies and leave of absence. We have apologies that I know of from the Mayor, Councillor Todd, and from Councillor Cody Brady. Any other apologies? No? Very good. So does anyone move to Councillor Capel and second Councillor Hill? All in favour? That looks unanimous. Thank
that's,
you.
That's to be said for your apologies and grant leave of absence.
Yes, correct. Yes, thank you. All right, so confirmation of minutes is the next thing. Now, we have the minutes. I'll assume that everybody's had a chance to look at those minutes of the council meeting of the 20th of June 2000. And 19. I take those as read. Now, does anybody move that they be accepted?
I move.
Councillor Shinton. Seconder. Councillor Doolan. All in favour? That's unanimous as well. Thank you. Were there any comments on the minutes that Councillor Doolan?
Just one. Acting Mayor, item 13 dealt with the emergency services contribution, and point number 2, number 6, it says that we advise that we'll be withholding the additional payment until a satisfactory response is received, and then we're going with our out there with the operational plan changes later on, we're sort of factoring that in as being a done deal. The extra $100,000. So we're hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. Or
basically, yes. Great.
Well, it's more in hope than in anticipation that we.
Of course, Council hasn't yet made the decision on how it was going to adjust the budget on the additional expenditure. And as you indicated at the last Council meeting, we'll do that first quarter review.
Fair enough. No, that was just a comment about the seeming incompatibility of the two, but if we look at it that way, that we're planning for the worst eventuality, that's straightforward enough.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, queries? No? Okay. Disclosures of interest? No. Happy to move on from that? Good. So, you want to do the presentation next? Okay. All right, so next we'll do we've got a presentation. Before we dive into our agenda items, we have Mr. Quinton Hutchinson here to do a presentation. And Leone.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We'd just like, on behalf of the Lions Club, to officially hand over the new pollution block from the Master Park to the Council today. It's been a long time coming, a lot of work. A lot of grant. We've also assisted the council as assisted with the grant, which has been absolutely wonderful. And it's actually come to fruition after 3 years. And we've put in a lot of money to it. In fact, the profitability from the steak sandwich we've actually worked out about 8,500 steak sandwiches to get to this stage. So they're fully completed, they've been cleaned tonight. The employees have keys, but we would like to hand over officially a card with the keys on tonight.
Thank you very much.
It's a very exciting time for us, so we're thrilled at long last.
Kevin, does that mean that you're in charge of these?
It is.
Thank you. Very good. Move on to the main body of the business paper. Item 1, mayoral minutes. Now, the mayor is away, as we know. We have a recommendation. It's only for noting. Now, do we have a mover? Councillor Doolan, Councillor Capel, seconder. All right, does anyone want to debate this motion or speak to the motion, or are you just happy to vote on it? Okay, we'll have a vote. All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 2, councillors' monthly travel claims. Again, this is for noting. Mover, Councillor Doolan, seconder, Councillor Hill. Any debate on this motion? All in favour? That's unanimous as well. Thank you. Item 3, ALGA National General Assembly in Canberra, 16 to 19 of June.
Yeah, I'll move that.
Councillor Shinton, seconder. Councillor Capel. Now, is there anything you'd like to talk to us about, or just take that as read, Peter?
Probably just take it as read. I was most interested in what was happening, I think it was the last couple of paragraphs about Norfolk Island. I thought that was one of the funniest presentations that I ever sat through. All I can say is to poor Coots, you know, because I won't read it out, but they're registered as a local government, but you can't vote in elections. They don't get funding. They have an international airport, but can't get any funding for that. Have a New South Wales postcode. Vote in the federal seat of Bean in the ACT. ABC radio's covered from Orange and Dubbo. And their international phone number is the same as Antarctica, which means it's impossible to make phone calls properly. So, I feel really sorry for these people, but. Not much we can do about it. It was good fun listening to the hardships they had to put up with.
Anyway, probably better off staying as they were.
Probably better off staying as they were. Yep, I agree.
Any other comments, discussion? All in favour? Unanimous again. Item 4, minutes of the Arana Joint Organisation meeting, 6th of June. We have a recommendation there. Mover, Doolan, seconder, Hill. Any debate, discussion?
Yes? What's happening about the funding for it going forward? I thought they were rapidly running out of funding.
General Manager?
The JA believes it will last for up to another 12 months and hopefully something comes to fruition in that time.
Yes, well, could I just make a comment there?
Of course.
Mr. Chairman, you went to that function today, the drought function in Dubbo, and there's been a lot of money. John Barilaro is racing around now giving money to Well, Cobar was the biggest recipient with $4 million because that mine closed yesterday to build an industrial park. It's just getting out of hand the way he's throwing money around. But he, as he left, he made a promise that he'd be at Yulgandra tomorrow handing out something. Nobody knows what that is, but it's a, the quick talk around was that he'll probably give some funding to the perpetuation of this the new jock. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that. And were you there for the Prime Minister's speech as well?
Yes, I was.
Any thoughts?
A waste of time. Like it was full of it, absolutely full of it. I thought the opposition leader gave a better presentation and has more appreciation of what is going on. The thing that was annoying, only talking about it coming here, was what they never covered was what happens if it doesn't rain again. You know, like, I mean, it's probably not possible, but if it doesn't happen again, we have no, there is no fallback. It will rain again, and we will fill our dams, and then we'll distribute the water. But it's there is no plan if it doesn't rain. And that was what we were talking about on the way over. I thought to myself, that's the shortcoming of that whole thing. But as I listening to farmers and what's going on in the bush at the present moment, that was the crux of the whole thing. And I think the newspaper did an excellent job of promoting it. But do we need politicians there? Probably not. Yeah, you know, like it was the state guys did well. John Barilaro showed again that he's a member of a coalition, but he's out there by himself. He's saying he's in charge at the present moment, and he'll be writing out some checks the next couple of weeks while the Premier's away. So it was that was all good stuff to hear. But did anything come out of it? It's going to be interesting to read the newspaper to see what they think came out of it. But a lot of things weren't answered, and that's the biggest problem, I think. They've got no answers to what the problem is. We heard about building new dams, and there's been the call, and everyone gets fired up about that. But one of the water experts said, if we built these extra dams, he said, the dams that have been built were built by experts. They picked the best spots and they built the best dams. To add to the wall, he's not sure whether that's a good principle, but it's cheaper than building a new one. And as he said, if you built new dams and put them between the dams that exist right now, they'd be just as empty as all the dams that are empty now. So just quite interesting. Barnaby Joyce, of course, counted. If you don't do anything, you'll get nowhere. And that was basically his argument. So so that was that. But very interesting day, I thought. Good. I'll write a report anyway for council.
Yeah, that's good. Any other comments? All right. We have a vote on the JO meeting. All in favour? Unanimous again. Thank you. Moving along well tonight. Item 5, Traffic Advisory Committee.
Move.
Mr. Shinton, Councillor Capel. Now, there are a few things to talk about in this one, potentially at least. Does anyone have anything to discuss?
Yes. Can plans be drawn up that aren't meeting the standards? Why aren't they being drawn up with the standards in front of the person in regards to the disability parking here in Coolum? I just don't.
Is that a question for Mr. Ty?
Yes. I don't understand how somebody could be designing something not incorporating the standards in the design.
It's an easy one to answer.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The Traffic Committee was presented with a design prepared, and the experts had a look at it and said, well, you need to do this and you need to do that to meet standards.
So, so why wasn't it designed with standards in front so it wasn't sent back? That's my question. Would have thought you'd have the standards there as you're designing to make sure you're meeting your minimums.
Well, there's always interpretation of the standards.
Okay.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, while I have floor, so to
yes.
speak, item number 3, the recommendation, just to correct a glaring error that It's not Cooler Caravan Park or Cooler Bolero Street, it's actually Dunedoo, so Cooler should change to Dunedoo.
So we're talking, we're saying Dunedoo Caravan Park?
Correct.
At Ballara Street, Dunedoo.
Yes.
All councillors noting that change? Councillor Hill, you're in agreement?
Yes, good. Thank you.
Okay, so we have an amended recommendation there. Do we have a vote on that? All in favour? Unanimous again. I don't think we need to vote for an amendment, Roger, do we?
No.
No, that's fine. Item 6, Aerodromes Advisory Committee. Mover? Councillor Doolan? Councillor Hill, seconder? Any comments or discussion? Interesting to see that the Air Force is taking an interest in our airstrip. Do we have a vote in that case? All in favour? Unanimous again. Doing very well tonight. Item 7, Coonabarabran Swimming Pool Advisory Committee. Do we have a mover?
Me.
Councillor Shinton, Councillor Capel. Any discussion? Okay. Vote in that case, all in favour? Unanimous. Good. Item 8, Robertson Oval Advisory Committee. Do we have a mover? Councillor Capel, Councillor Hill. Any discussion? Can we have a vote in that case? All in favour? That's unanimous again. Item 9, TRRRC 355 Advisory Committee. Do we have a mover? Councillor Hill? Councillor Clancy? Discussion. Keeping in mind that this will be the only discussion about Dunedoo tonight, these two items, item 9 and item 10. It's not coming up in closed council. Any discussion on item 9? No?
Well,
oh, yes. Well, yes, I do.
Any word back from RMS about the road widening in the vicinity?
I'm not aware of it. Yeah, I don't know, nothing. No. We have a vote on item 9? In favour? Yes, got all hands up, unanimous. Item 10, another minute of a TRRRC 355 Advisory Committee. We have a mover for this one, Councillor Hill, Councillor Capel. Any discussion on this particular minute? No? So we'll have a vote. All in favour? Unanimous again. Item 11, Coonabarabran Emergency Water Supply Project updates. We have a mover. Councillor Doolan and Councillor Capel. Any discussion on this?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. General Manager, would you like to delegate? There's some good stuff in here. The $2.2 million for that parallel line into town, that's a good news story. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
It certainly is. We haven't got yet through the funding arrangements for that just yet. So we haven't been made the offer for to wait for that to go.
And the theory with having parallel lines, one in the future, one for dam water, one for ball water, what will be the benefit?
We have realised also through new modelling and looking at future demands and climate change that we need to rely to increase on groundwater rather than surface water. So it was considered a good strategy to change, to separate our supplies and then dedicate main just for the groundwater. Also, it would have benefits if there's an issue with any of the supplies, so we can shut down all together. An increased benefit we will have in the future for that is currently all the groundwater goes in the gravity feed main. The gravity feed main is quite old. We had recently inspected and it seems still to be in good condition. However, in the future, putting new infrastructure next to it means should one of those fail, you always have a backup to go back and for your supply.
Oh, that's a good few story. The other thing which I thought was good was the progress with the fluoridation. That seems to be moving.
Yes, forward. I have recently contacted the consultant to ask what the timeframes are. I still haven't received a second reply as to when will we have something, but they are working on it and progressing through.
So do we take it with the fluoridation that they're now locked in, there's no turning back, that's definitely going to happen? Is that what we understand?
That was my understanding all along. I thought that decision had been made years ago when the fluoridation plants were put in.
And just the last one, if I could, was that dead water, 19-odd%, I think, we're at the minute, aren't we? Is there any plans to get that operational, so you've got another backup to our backup, should something happen bore-wise, that we could access that last bit of water?
There is a pump house system in place, or has been for quite a while, but as you probably know, that it got destroyed in the 2005. It has since been replaced.
Oh, it has.
Okay.
So
there is a pump house system in place. There's a new pump and
pontoon
and a pipe.
No, I beg your pardon,
I'll be done. The only issue we have with which we need to operate is we need to car the generator and then run off the generator, because establishing new power was going to be too costly, so should we need it, it needs to be operated using a generator.
Okay, Councillor Lewis.
I just asked a question, it's not in the business paper, but I think it's a question that deserves an answer. With our reliance, especially in Coonabarabran, of underground water, we're continually monitoring the water level in the dam. Do we ever think to check it in the aquifer?
Is that, Ms. Werbos, is that technically possible?
Yes, we are checking it. All the new walls that got installed on the entire world have ventilation systems in them. They are monitoring frequently, and we actually have the ones a long time around hooked up to the telemetry system and treatment plant. So we have those. What we don't have yet, and I mentioned in the report, which is happening at the moment, is to install a level instrumentation and data logs at all the test balls. In other words, four signs that didn't make it to production walls. They are test balls, they are kept open for that purpose, so we can actually monitor, however deep that is, at that level, what the level is doing in combination with how we run the other balls. You know, is it moving, depending on if the balls are running or not. That's happening for the test balls, but also for the current or old balls that we're in. So that's going to happen. Once all those go in, we can have a better idea of what the
water
level is doing, and we can use that information to the hydrologist that we have engaged to do the report
for that. And with our usage of poor water or water out of the aquifers, has there been any trend established in the last couple of years as to how the level of the aquifer is going? Are we drawing it down, or is it staying the same?
It has been monitored only since we put the new walls in. I haven't looked at it, I can't tell you at this stage, haven't used since then, would have been used anyway due to other factors, and the hydrological report will give an answer on that.
So, I think we should be keeping a very, very close eye on that, because it's just a tank the same as a dam, and if we keep pumping it, we'll pump it dry.
Well, it sounds like we're going to get a report about that. Councillor Shinter?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, if we just come in on that one, just to finish the answer. I've spoken to Council's water operators on a number of occasions about that particular issue, and the advice I keep getting each time is that once there is an initial drawdown each day, when we start drawing from the bores, it goes to a particular level, it stays stable at that level, and then overnight it's recharged, and that's the same case day after day. So it's staying very, very stable as far as we're concerned.
That's good. Mr. Chair, the only thing I have here is the licence that we applied for and we were refused. What's going to happen in the future?
I've been making representations to DOI Water in relation to that.
Yep.
And I expect to write a letter to the local member express some concerns about the progress of that particular issue shortly.
Can we have a vote on this water report? All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Item 12, LGA New South Wales Annual Conference. Do we have a mover for this? Thank you. Do we have a mover for this? Councillor Doolan, Councillor Hill. Any comments? Any volunteers? I just wonder whether would it be more appropriate, Mr. Bailey, to leave this until the mayor gets back, or do we just deal with it now? Do you think?
Oh, I think it's quite fine to deal with it now. I think if council deals with the motion, once the motion's been adopted, then appoints the delegates by the observers, I should say.
We'll assume that the mayor will go because he likes to go to those things, I think. So, all right. So we have a mover and seconder. Does anyone want to nominate to attend? Councillor Shinter? Anyone else? Councillor Doolan? Anyone else? No? Councillor Hill? No? So if we've only got two nominating to go, I don't think we've got much controversy here, do we? Does anyone have any ideas on draft motions at this point in time?
With that particular item, councillors, you can advise me between now and the next council meeting, and I can put them into the business paper for consideration. Remembering, of course, that we do have to make a decision at the next council meeting because the deadline for submission of motions is the 19th of August.
So we might change this recommendation. So Part 1 remains unchanged. Part 2 becomes Councillors Doolan and Shinton are the other two observers. And Part 3 remains unchanged. Is that okay, Erin?
Yep.
So we're going to vote on what's in front of us now. So very minor. In essence, we've just inserted two councillors' names. So let's vote on that. All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 13, Stronger Country Communities Fund, Round 3. We have a mover. Councillor Capel, Councillor Clancy, seconder. Okay, any discussion on this matter?
Councillor Lewis, yes. Inquiry. From Blake down to Leadville, wants to know what's happening with the tall project. It seems to have stopped. That, not my word, that's just the inquiry. I said I'd ask the question.
I'm pretty used to Deputy Mayor. The project is proceeding through. The water block has been demolished in readiness for a rebuild of the water block. We're still working through some construction certificate issues with the hall renovations itself. But the lights
have been in a tunnel there
and we'll proceed
forward shortly. So, when's some dust going to get kicked up or whatever?
Very shortly.
Okay.
Some cameras will be moving soon.
Thank you.
Any other comments on this one?
Yes. What is the problem? Is the problem that you can't get people in wheelchairs onto the stage? Is that the problem?
Previous Mayor, Deputy Mayor, there's been a few issues with sorting out access for disabled persons. So, we're working through that
at the moment. The complaint that we heard was that it's going to cost thousands of dollars to put a lift in. To lift them 3 feet.
That's correct. So we're working through how we can move forward with that.
Right, yeah. Is this going to stop the development?
No.
Okay.
For the information of councillors, Erin and I have been negotiating with the school principals within our LGA to try and find a time to have a meeting. And I think that's more than timely now, given what's in front of us. Hope to get their feedback on what they think might be some good strategies to stimulate youth policy, and using some of that information we may be able to then make a better fist of this. once that meeting time and large venue is determined, I'll clearly let all of you know and you'll all be welcome to attend. But I think engaging with people involved heavily in youth, and clearly the school principals are leading that, is a good way to help us form these policies in a better way. I certainly have a few ideas, and I know Councillor Brady's got a few ideas, but I encourage you all to put forward some ideas, because it's clearly a big issue all through our Shire. Youth feel disengaged, they don't have employment, so anything we can do to help that would be very good. So we'll keep you posted. Do we have any update on that, by the way? Or?
I'll talk to you
after. Okay, right. We're thinking it's probably the 31st of July, is that right?
Is that the day that...
The Wednesday?
Wednesday. I think it's
only
the Tuesday now.
It's back to Tuesday. Nothing seems to be open. Okay, anyway. Just to update councillors, we're looking at either the 29th, 30th or 31st. One of those 3 days is most likely, and it's almost certainly going to be in Binaway to try and make it central, and it'll probably be around lunchtime. So watch this space. We needed a time that worked for all the school principals where it didn't involve too much travel and had to be during school hours. So I've just got this idea that if we get certain interest groups together and get talking to them, it might stimulate some better policy. We had a good meeting with legal fraternity a couple of months ago, trying to get some real estate agents together, trying to get... Eventually we might get some other groups together, but it seems to be something that is of interest, and people always make the criticism that we're not listening to people enough and that we're not engaging, so hopefully this little technique might help a bit. Okay, so we have a vote on this, all in favour, and we're unanimous again, so that's item 13. Item 14, Council Resolutions Report. This is only for information. Do we have a mover? Councillor Clancy, Councillor Capel. Any discussion on this? Do we have a vote? Oh no, did you want to discuss anything there? You had your hand up, Councillor Capel?
No.
Oh, okay. So we'll vote on it in that case. All in favour? Councillor Capel, yes. We've got it unanimous again. Thank you. Item 15, Revotes Report. We have a mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Capel. Any discussion? Yes?
Point to point, it's got here, I think it's supposed to be town, but it's got, what is it meant by another town required? I think it's supposed to be another town. Yeah. Just sort of checking
it. What's happened is a town that we're looking at using has been identified as needs structural upgrade. So we'll
look at another cow being erected.
Are there any out there?
There's possibility here.
Okay, do we have a vote? Oh, sorry, Councillor Doyle.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, to either the General Manager or the Director, we can read through the list here. Are there any that you think particular attention needs to be drawn to by ourselves that we've overlooked, haven't paid enough attention to? In the revote list we've got?
I suppose the issue is going to be that the proportion of items completed as at 30 June, which is roughly half of those that were on the list. Of course, the issue there is that there are several big projects which make up a lot of the remainder, e.g. the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community, the Dunning Do Series Treatment. RFS it'll have a journal done in the coming weeks which will indicate how much is actually spent there once you get advice from the RFS on that. But other than that, there has been a good number of projects actually not going on, except for a couple of those significant ones. In relation to that, there's the issues with the TRRC, but with the Dunning Do sewage, the Cooler sewage, and the Coonamarra sewage, you'll recall that we actually sought additional funds to do those projects. So that's why they were held up.
The software?
Yep.
Is it been delayed for a reason, or is it just to ascertain what the new software will be that you're going to bring the other departments into?
I'll have to take that one on notice, sorry, Councillor Cagle. I'm not fully across where we're at that particular time. We are doing a hardware upgrade starting in the coming weeks. I'm not sure whether that was part of that or not.
Let's have a vote. All in favour? Unanimous again. Thank you. Item 16, investments and term deposits. Do we have a mover? Councillor Capel. Councillor Clancy, seconder. Any discussion on that? Councillor Dillon, you happy with where all the money's being invested this time?
Just one quick item there, councillors. In dot point two on your recommendation, there's one, two, one. In there. I wish we did have that.
Yes. One too many zeros or one too many ones?
One too many ones.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. It says 1, 3. Yes. The first one's missing. So 13 million instead of 113 million. Okay. All in favour? Yes, unanimous. Thank you. Item 17. Name change proposal for the locality of Napier Lane. Councillor Shinton moving. Councillor Clancy second. Now, this is an interesting topic. Councillor Shinton, you moved so you can speak first.
Yeah, fine. We've had a lot of people that are concerned about this. For me, I was concerned when they took us out of Coonabarabran and put us into a place called Dandry that no one had ever heard of. And it's the same with these people. Napier Lane meant nothing. It extends up to the Oxley Highway, but no access. And I think, I don't know who proposed this when it first came out, to have suburbs in country areas. I noticed in Coola, I don't think there's any. And you go to places like Gilgandra, they haven't got any either. And Coonabarabran, we must leave the world because, and it's done things which I think are quite derogatory, and that is we have now changed our town boundaries because of these sort of things. And a few years ago we had reports in the paper that the population in Binaway had doubled, and all that had happened was they moved the boundaries because they withdrew a suburb and increased the count area of Binaway. This makes it hard for statistics in the future because it looks like, and of course the Coonabarabran Times reported that there was enough houses down in Binaway because of the influx of people, which was completely false, and the bloke who wrote the report knew that too. But he said, they told me all these people are coming, so I said, oh, there's not enough housing. That's how these things happen. And Napier Lane, these people, as a phone call came through the other night, these people identify themselves with either Pearly War or Ullamambri, and probably some Coonabarabran too, so it will easily be split up and put back to where it was, in my opinion.
Binaway is the centre of the
universe. I knew that.
Any other discussions, Councillor?
Yeah, just as a suggestion along those lines from someone along that road, that if we're going to consult with the people, this will come out anyway, but the feeling was if we could follow the old telephone exchanges would probably be useful. So Napier Lane's 4278 phone numbers.
Gotcha.
Where Pearly War was 4282. So I think people sort of identify with where their local phone exchange when they used to ring up the good lady back in the olden days. So something along those lines would be. But that'll come out. We've got consultation there in the...
One of the things we need to think about is how this consultation occurs. Here it says consult with property owners, but I think it's just as important that the residents of Pearly War, Ullamambri and Coonabarabran have a say in this, because Coonabarabran may not want to, take on all of this, and nor may some of the other areas. There may be certain prestige or sense of place that may be associated with certain locations. So it's not necessarily a straightforward undertaking. And certainly not necessarily. I'm not trying to make more work for the council staff here, but to assume it's just those residents that are living in Napier Lane that are affected is not quite true. I think it affects everybody in that vicinity. So who's going to be, which of the directors is going to be handling this project? Is it Leanne or Kevin? Kevin, do you have any thoughts on this?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Look, I think the way it'll go, there will be phone calls made to property in Napier Lane, and then proposed boundary will be prepared, and that will be advertised in the paper. There'll be phone calls made to property owners who are currently in Napier Lane, and then they're advertised, and then they're brought back to council.
Mr. Chairman, what happens now is these people are using their old addresses. Thank God they haven't changed to this locality. So they already are accepted as being part of, or that's it. I think we will when we're at the end of the Napier Lane, and the people at the start of the Napier Lane, I think, used the Yulamambra address. That was just the way it was. Yeah. Depending on where your exchange was, like Canberra.
In my day job, I don't have any one of my patients with an address Napier Lane. Address. Everyone who lives out there either identifies as Pearly Wall or Coonabarabran or Yulamambra.
My question is, with the changes, does this give the people in that area a chance to have a physical address as 1620 whatever lane or 1945, or so that emergency services can go straight to them and there'll be no duplication of addresses?
Yes,
so I think that the underlying reason that all this has got to be tidied up is emergency services, central, especially with the Rural Fire Service, who are now going to a central command centre, where you'll be talking to someone in Sydney, not in Coonabarabran. They won't have a bloody clue what you're talking about. When you're talking about Napier Lane, east or west, it's got to be a physical, set in concrete address. And if we're doing all this, we should go to the trouble to do it right the first time.
Kevin, do you have any further comments?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. So, properties do have an address. The problem currently is that their address might be 1234 Napier Lane, Napier Lane, and that's what we're trying to overcome by eliminating the locality of Napier Lane and changing the boundaries of Pearly Wall, Yulamambra, Coonabarabran. So, properties do have an address, but it's confusing.
Okay, well, you see from your map there, Kevin, the bottom end of Napier Lane is really, you know, a good golf shot from Pearly Wall. So the people identify as Pearly Wall. So if we go back, as we work on the exchanges, I think that'll smooth all of that out.
Better go to rural addressing, because we've got fire captains who call in and say they're just down the back of Bill's place along the back lane up to Dave's. And we've got to have a bit better system than that.
Well, if I could, just on that, Councillor Lewis, we had two fires that our brigades attended in the last 18 months. One just recently, it was a number Box Ridge Road, and our fire shed is 100 metres from one end of Box Ridge Road. Well, it turns out one of the fires was 100 metres from the other end of Box Ridge Road. Had we been familiar with what the addressing numbers were, I suppose we could have become aware of that more quickly, but it would be quicker to go through Binaway than go right around the long way. But we went right around the long way. Is there some way that we just have to become better at knowing that, Kevin?
It's not going to get any better with it. Like,
so we knew with Box Ridge Road, but we just need to know what end is 1234 Box Ridge Road.
I think the aim of confirming property addresses is so that you can punch it into Google and you can have someone to tell you the best road there, the best way to get there. So we're trying to get consistency.
Or wasn't.
Noting that no decision's being made is purely to advance this project, let's have a vote on this. All in favour? Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Item 18, proposal to name and gazette two private roads in Homely Drive Estate. We have a recommendation there in two parts. Any mover? Councillor Clancy, Councillor Capel. And any discussion? Councillor Clancy, do you have anything to say about that? No? Okay, Councillor Cable? No? Councillor Dillon?
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, to Director Tai, so you think this will, recommendation that will keep everyone with the consultation, this will be acceptable, doing away with the earlier proposed names?
Well, look, we've done quite a bit of consultation on this already, Mr. Deputy Mayor, and we believe that this is the best outcome to date, but there will be further consultation, notification to the affected property owners.
So what would happen if you get objections?
Again, I'll come back to council. So the recommendation is to go through the process. There's an official process outlined in the roads regulation, and so 28 days in notice and like to affect the property owners, that's what I mean.
Do we have a vote on this? In favour? Mm-hmm. Unanimous, thank you. Item 19, proposed extension of road maintenance works on Warden Road. So we have a recommendation that things remain as they are. Do we have a mover? Councillor Kay? Councillor Clancy, seconder? Any discussion? Yes.
I feel if there is a residence, we should be doing our best to make sure there is decent access. It's one thing if it's a non-residential block, but we're talking about the residents at the end of that also is bringing, hopefully, tourism into the area. I think we should be going to at least the 8K mark.
As being there.
9K would be better, but our earlier speaker was happy with the 8K mark. So but I just think as a residential place, it needs a road maintained. If it wasn't a residential place, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Would that's simply discussion at this stage. Any other discussion? So is that a motion now?
Oh, it's a...
I understood that as discussion.
Discussion, yeah.
A discussion for the moment. Let's have further discussion that we might do an amendment.
You said, Mr. In there, we took a motion a moment ago from Councillor Cable, seconded by Councillor Clancy, of what the recommendation was. So that's what's been moved this point in time.
Yeah, but that's her idea, and I want to hear other ideas, and then we might formulate something. So we've heard from one councillor who's not happy with the recommendation, wants to change it. Anyone else have anything to say?
I'll just ask a question. With council being asked for an increase in the amount of roads we're looking after, is there a consideration given to the amount of roads that we're not looking after that would have been on our list that haven't been touched for 20 or 30 years? Because I can name a couple. And just about budget balance because of that? Or, you know, the property road into my property hasn't been touched in 25 or 30 years, I don't know of, and it used to be a mile run. It's access to four properties. That must have been in council's budget at one stage. Or has it just slipped away because no one's complained? But we seem to be working on the squeaky hinge principle.
Okay, any other comments? So we've got a motion before us. We've had an idea from one councillor suggesting that we need to change it. Hasn't been put to us formally as a motion yet, so we can vote on what we have. We can do an amendment, we can let it lay on the table and think about it another month. There are three options.
But she's not going to move an amendment. Vote on the recommendation is my opinion.
So you're saying that the motion be put?
Yep.
Would have any other ideas? Are you moving an amendment or are you saying the motion to put?
I don't think we'll get up, personally.
If it's not amended, it's never going to get up, of course. Okay, so
I'd like to amend then. But
that becomes a procedural motion now that has to take precedence. You might put it, let it be put. So I think we can vote on it and then we can always do a double take or think of another motion. So we have a procedural motion that we put. So all those in favour of the motion we have in front of us, hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Councillor Clancy, is yours up or down?
Sorry?
Are you voting up or down on this?
Up.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I thought I'd done.
So we have a majority because we're only in 7. Who's voting against? No one's left the room. 2 against. I'm going to use my privilege and abstain, so I can't leave it.
If you abstain, it's me.
Yeah, okay. I've said what I've said. Okay, so that motion goes down 4-3. So I can't leave the room. Okay, so we
Mr. Acting Mayor, in that case, I'll report the motion as against councillors Lewis, Capel and Lucy.
That's what it is. Yes, we have to record, as we know. So that's the way it is. Now, given that we clearly have an intent by some councillors that want to change this, you have options for next meeting to rescind or do whatever. So the matter is not necessarily dead, okay? Sounds like you're going to have to talk to a few councillors first, okay? Very good. All right, item 20. Re-establishment of alcohol-free zones. Now, can we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Lewis, Councillor Clancy. So, as you will know from your papers, there has been some objection, and we don't necessarily have to do a blanket approval or a blanket disapproval. We can always modify this to take into account certain localities. Now, Councillor Lewis, you moved this, so what do you want to say about this?
I think if they're drinking underneath the roof of the pub, as in the Black Dump Inn, that's okay, but they shouldn't be allowed on the footpath. But we've also got to take into consideration how long these things go for with imminent changes to the main street in Coonabarra, and we don't want to inhibit progress for restaurants, etc., etc., etc. But we've really got to look at the big picture and not be too peripheral vision.
So are you saying we need to modify this or leave it as it is?
Well, if it's within a hotel, if it's underneath the roof of the hotel, fair enough, but not out on the footpath. But if you had a sidewalk cafe where people go on a Saturday morning on a quiet street, not in a busy CBD, and people want to have a glass of wine, well, good on them.
I think anyone would be hard-pushed to call any of our CBDs busy, Councillor Lewis.
Well, not a major traffic wave, put it that way.
Councillor Capel?
I agree we need to actually formulate a policy that covers this type of stuff. At this stage, we don't actually even have a policy. So I think we need a policy before we start changing the alcohol-free zones.
I don't think school kids should be able to weave in and out of people drinking alcohol on the footpath. I'm dead set against that. As in, at a hotel where people become a little bit vocal and loud. And
can I get this clarified? We don't have a policy on what? Drinking in the street or having people
outside
sitting in the street?
Outside alcohol serving for restaurants and stuff.
Right, okay. That's what you're saying. But we do have a policy for eating in the street.
I've been well informed the neighbouring council's got a very good one we might need to look at.
Leanne Wright, you were going to say something?
Yeah, pretty used to be there. We don't have a policy for outdoor dining, so that's something that could be formulated, and, you know, we could pick up these ones who may want to put chairs and tables out and have alcohol out there, but it's going to need some consent from police. They'll also need to change their liquor licensing areas as well to be able to have alcohol out in the street.
So can I ask, what are all these people doing sitting in Coonabarra on the street there, eating and drinking?
Yeah. Previous Deputy Mayor, that's been going on since before I was here. So
yeah, yes, and I thought we had a policy.
I haven't pulled any of that up at this point in time because I didn't want to be the the bad police, but it certainly doesn't have a policy and there needs to be some decent work that's showing what they're up to.
But whilst there are people eating and drinking in Coonabarabran, I don't think liquor is actually being served on the street.
That's fine, but we, as far as I knew, we did have a policy and people used to have to apply and they had to pay. So you reckon that's not on?
No,
that's not happening.
Previously, there is a street store policy for people who want to sell travel tickets. It's all bound in by travel brand council's policy area.
The licensing laws have relaxed a lot and there's a lot more common sense now, but as has been correctly said, something like the Black Stump Inn would need to change its license to a different premises. It'll be a minor variation, but a variation nevertheless. So not wanting to stifle business and trade, perhaps is it reasonable for them to be given some encouragement to look at the small bar license or something like that to try and strike it?
Well, I'd move that we just put a little bit of an amendment in there that we formulate a policy for outside dining.
That's in the recommendation.
How do, excuse me again, how do the people in the cafe there opposite Woolworths, where they're on private property with their outdoor area, go if they got a restricted license?
It's not a licensed premises, though.
No, I said if they got a restricted license.
They'd have to apply as a premises. You'd have to do, you've got to submit
that. That technically speaking, not on the footpath, it's on there, on the land.
You've still got to you've still got to supply a premises plan when you apply for a liquor license.
Okay.
It's not that hard anymore. It's much. It's, you can get a small bar license for $500-$600. It's not a big impediment. Something I know a bit about these things.
Excuse me.
Yes, Mr. Councillor Doyle.
Could I just insert a small amendment into that point two, which I think is quite excellent. I think it's a good thing. But could we just insert, develop a policy to address and perhaps facilitate outdoor dining so that the onus is on people feel that they're encouraged to do it? Would that add a
I would caution you against that. I think people would take that the wrong way if we're seen to encourage. I think, but you know, it's reasonable for, if you're putting an amendment, it's totally up to you.
What's the mechanics of that through you to the general manager?
In the first instance, I'd be saying, councillors, Lewis and Fancy, are you happy with that proposal, or do you want to speak with your current?
Oh no! Just so long as we do actually progress it, because
that would be part of a policy.
LLGA is in a conditional state, but we've got to start to do something proactive to turn things around.
So you'll find
one first little step towards it.
You'll find Councillor Dillon's wording.
Your pardon?
You'll find the wording suggested by Councillor Dillon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mr. Acting Mayor, is Councillor Fancy also fine with that word? In that case, it's incorporated.
So we're saying to develop and
So, could I just ask, that includes having alcohol in the street, does it? Just says outdoor dining.
Outdoor dining and business, which would incorporate possibly alcohol.
Yeah, but you have to the shop itself to apply for a license.
We need so many feet on the footpath for that type of thing, for people passing.
Okay, so we have an amendment. All in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to vote against. So one down. Okay, so 6-1, that gets up. Item 21, Coonabarabran Administration Building roof replacement. The tale of woe goes on. Do we have a mover? Councillor Lewis, second to Councillor Hill. Councillor Lewis, you moved, you can talk to it.
I've made this opinion of mine before, and I'll restate it. The condition of that roof is because of criminal work on behalf of the people that built our new building and didn't incorporate the repairs to that roof and the design of it to allow the project to go ahead without addressing that situation, was not just stupid, it was criminal. Someone should be held to justice, held accountable for it. It's just, I can't use strong enough words to describe the stupidity of the people that did that. It's coming from a licensed resident.
Any other comments? Can I ask the general manager or someone else to, from the staff, to give us any further updates, or is it as per the report?
As per the report.
Okay. All right. Yes, councillor.
The scope of works, I'm presuming, that would go as well as the roof to amending the critical lack of safety features that are in the original. That'd be, that's extra. So, do you have the time frame for that safety upgrade?
As soon as possible. So we can start any work was, of course, but before that.
I don't realize these more.
So our options were to re-advertise, to not continue with tendering, and to manage in-house. The recommendation is that we re-advertise. So that's what we're voting on. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Item 22, Cooler Youth Mover. No mover? Councillor Hill? Seconder? Councillor Clancy. Councillor Hill, could you give us your thoughts?
Oh, I don't know that I've got any thoughts.
Okay,
it needs a lot of discussion, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
Councillor Clancy, any thoughts? That...
No, not at the moment. Sorry.
Not at the moment?
No.
The community will lose this asset if something council doesn't go on. That's the concern of those involved, because they can't keep doing what
they're doing. There's quite a comprehensive report here. What's your feedback from the community with respect to what's in this report, in particular the spending flyer and the thought that the community did get something with the point back?
The whole community is itching, and it's started in there once. Far more available for more state education, financial, a lot of access rules for figures. So that has led to possibly the need for another place to go for meetings and whatnot. There's nowhere else really for youth to meet outside of library hours, which struggled to get committees up. Join briefly, and my kids are long gone, they're adults, but it's every community, everyone's struggling to find numbers and to load the cost of the operation of the actual building on top of community groups. It's weighing them down, and it's a deterrent for people to join.
Councillor Lewis?
The name of the hall suggest to me, could they get some grant money from this next round of funding, Cooler Youth?
The thing with the success of the ongoing cost that becomes the concern, but having said that, as a council we do have certain functions, so I would like to help Roger.
We certainly do, Mr. Hacking there. And we know the budget is in at this point in time. We've got some hard decisions coming up. We're going to be having some presentations coming out to councillors in the coming months, in the light of that. And there are going to be some, as I said, tough decisions to be made amongst those.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Years ago, we put money into the, that was called the hub in those days, and that was Cooler's main hall next door here, In the back there was a people a fitness class.
It's still running.
That's still running, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
So there's no room in this building.
No, it's very popular. That building's well utilised next door. I think, from memory, that's 4 or 5 gym sessions plus the rugby and...
Right.
So, basically, given away our hall, now we want it back again.
No, this is a different hall.
A couple of old times, this is next door. I played there, actually. We did have a hall, and it was cool as choice to back away from it.
Councillor Dillon?
Well, I agree with Councillor Lewis's idea. In the first brief look at it, I thought perhaps in the short run, some funding for this could be for some maintenance that might be pressing. We let this lay on the table perhaps this month and perhaps just look at that drought funding. If Cooler are of a mind that this is something that's important to them, whether they their share of that towards this, possibly. That'd be something.
How does the community feel about the ongoing cost? Do you feel that there's any more ability in the community to generate revenue or help with the running of this facility?
Well, there's been an attempt to work with the men shed to mitigate some of those costs by having the men shed there, but then since we've discovered the zoning is an issue for them to build a shed on the site, because for some strange reason it's residential. It's an LEP problem as well. So they can't build a size shed.
3 years to do the miracle helps. The community coordinator down here said she would actively apply for grants, so that assistance is available to council.
And we have in the past received some funding to do the sound insulation. So it's all had sound insulation in the main hall, which made a huge difference.
So I'm getting very mixed feelings here. I get the feeling that in many ways we want to do it, but in many ways we feel we can't afford to do it. Some of us have suggested it might be best to wait a bit longer before we commit one way or the other. Does anyone have any further thoughts? Any amendments, or do we put it as it is?
Well, if people's happy to defer to see if we can get some of the drought funding.
Going to leave it on the table and see? Okay.
Can I put that motion? Is there a second?
Can I hear? I'd like to put it on the table. Leave it on the table.
To defer a decision to see if we can access some drought funding.
So let's leave it on the table and get an updated report. Okay, so Councillor Hill looked like she was interested in leaving it on the table. Do I take that as the case?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
What
do you think? You're happy to leave it on the table?
No, I'm happy with leaving it on the table. And
Anne
at least tells them to put in for a grant. Okay. See how they go. If there's money available, put a good case together and see what happens.
Just for clarity, can someone formally move that we leave it on the table? Okay, Councillor Cable. Councillor Hill seconded. All in favour of leaving it on the table? Okay, unanimous. So in that case, we'll get some work in progress from the local level.
I think so.
And from our grants experts. Thank you.
That would be most important to...
I think it would be very negative for the Cooler community to have us vote against it. That would be a very negative signal. I think it's best to keep.
Especially when it's youth.
Yeah. Item 23, development applications. We have a list there for consideration. Someone want to move that? Councillor Clancy, Councillor Cable, seconder. Any discussions on that? No, can we have a vote? In that case, all in favour? That's unanimous, thank you. Okay, item 24, reports to be considered in closed council. Mr. Bailey, could you?
Yep. So it's item 24.1, which is the organisational development monthly report, written back to the Adams and Place Council on the 10.2A of the Public Government Act.
Okay.
Move it.
We have a move. Close Council. Councillor Hill, Councillor Lewis, seconder. All in favour? Yes, unanimous. Slowly but surely. So I thank the members of the public.
We're not there. 24.2, which is the mayoral minute in relation to general manager's annual performance review. Recommendation here that comes to the council with 10.2A of the Blood Government Act.
Okay, Councillor Capel, seconder Councillor Doolan. All in favour? Yes, unanimous. And 24.3. Do we have a motion that item 24.3 goes to closed council? Councillor Doolan, Councillor Shinton, all in favour? Yes, all hands are up. Yes. Okay, now members of the public.
Sorry, a little bit more formality here.
Yes.
The opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward as to why these items should not be considered in closed council.
We'll forever hold your peace.
No objection.
You're welcome to come in at the end, but we don't know how long it'll take.
No objections to acting there, which basically we have a motion to go and close council, exclude press and public, hold withhold reports, etc.
Yes, can we move that, please? Oh, Councillor Shinton's exited the room. Can we make a note of that?
Be gone.
And he's back. Well, don't worry. Okay, refresh us again what we're moving about.
Just to the three items.
Councillor Capel, Councillor Doolan, all in favour? Thank you. All right, item 24.1. Go ahead. Uh-huh. They're coming back, are they?
Yes.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Just returning to local council now and reporting on the resolutions of closed council. The first item is 24.1, organisational development monthly report for the month of July 2019. On the motion of councillors Cable and Hill that the organisation of the month of July 2019 be noted for information. That was an unanimous decision by council. Then there was item 24.2, mayoral meeting will make an annual performance review. Motion or resolution of council on the motion of councillors Cable and Doolan was that one, council delegate all tasks necessary for the completion of the performance review to the performance review panel, and two, that the mayor be delegated the authority to finalise all arrangements for the performance review panel to convene, and that all councils be provided with an opportunity for input and feedback. Again, that was unanimous. Item 24.3, tender for Dewey Oval and Barradine Oval lighting upgrades. On a motion from councillors Lewis and Clancy, council resolved that the contract for the installation of new sports field lighting at Barradine Oval and Bidaway Oval be awarded to Guy Andrews Electrical for the total price of $599,971 inclusive of GST. Again, that's the unanimous decision of council.
Thank you. Do we have any other urgent business?
Mr. Acting Mayor, there is an item I'd like to bring Council's attention if I could.
Yes.
I believe to be business of urgency. We have a training course that is coming up. Local Government New South Wales have a training course that's coming up on Thursday, the 22nd of August. Now, while that is after the next Council meeting, in order to get a place booked and everything like that, that's why I'm saying it's business of great urgency.
Sure.
It's in relation to, it's designed for councillors and senior staff, and it's called Briefing Financial Issues in Local Government Course. And it's about how to interpret councillors' financial balance sheets, understanding how financial information fits into council planning, responsibilities of councillors in regards to council finances, and exploring how to probe questions can assist and make more informed decisions. Okay. Now, the council policy in this states that council will only meet the cost of training or attendance at educational course that is directly related to the council's civic functions and responsibilities and is approved by council prior to the undertaking such training or attendance. The course is $770, of course, and there is accommodation, transport, sustenance, etc.
So what are you proposing?
I had Councillor Doolan express an interest in attending this course. Of course, if other councillors wanted to, they could go. As I said, this is on Thursday, the 22nd of August 2019 in Sydney.
Councillor Doolan, what's your case?
Well, I just thought it might be a useful addition to my knowledge since I'm the councillor delegate on the Internal Audit Committee, and I thought you can never have enough knowledge. I thought this might be...
How are you going with that committee, by the way, when you're kicking off?
Well, we've had first on training with our two external audit people that was in Dubbo, and we're awaiting our first meeting.
Organising the agenda for that now. I've been talking with the chairman of that committee as to putting together the agenda.
So will that be, will we have a report by the next council meeting?
No.
Maybe the next one, following month?
Just on that bit of training, went to the couple of other councils that already have them up and successfully running. They call theirs the Internal Audit Risk and Improvement Committee, because it's not so much all about, or, you know, are there better ways that we can do things more along the lines of that as opposed to, or equally as.
So does anybody have any objections to Councillor Doolan attending?
just for a matter of formality, Mr. Acting Mayor, in a motion to declare that business a great urgency?
Yes, Councillor Capel. Yes, Councillor Shinton. All in favour of letting that be discussed? Yes, well, that's unanimous.
And
noting that Councillor Clancy is not in the room now. Okay.
And just for further formalities, you're declaring business great urgency?
Yes, indeed.
A motion then to authorise Councillor Doolan to attend.
Okay, someone put the motion. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Capel, all in favour? Unanimous. Not against 6, not 7. Okay. Any other matters of great urgency? No? In that case, I declare the meeting closed at 6:34 p.m.
Thank you.
Total of 87 minutes. There you go.